Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. Hi, everybody. My voice, oh, my God, I've been yelling too much. And that's why I can hardly talk. But listen, I got to talk to you today because you have visited Global Vision for Living Today. And we've got something good to talk to you about. Now, it involves making God's heart happy. But I want to make God's heart happy. But I'm not happy. Is this possible? Is there any way anyone can make God's heart happy? There is no way that they can actually do that if they're not happy. That's a thought. But my, oh my, how sad am I? Nothing does not seem to work for me. All I hear is bad news. And even those with billions have seemed to have lost their mind. They have no answers for the lowly and the common man. They think it's somewhere in outer space. But what can I do? What can we do to show God that we love him and to show him that we want to help his mission on earth, not anywhere else? He said, the heavens belong to me, but the earth I have given to the sons of men. I don't have to have a doctorate to be able to understand what that means. But we know right now that if the outcome of my life is predicated on me talking about making a God that I can't see, but I can't see him with my spiritual eyes. Some say, oh, well, you can't hear him. Oh, yes, I hear him. I hear him through my heart. Oh, you're not going to walk with him. Oh, yes, I'm walking with him right now because I'm talking to you. And the Bible says that he created heaven and earth, and he created man and woman. So that means I'm part of the creative force. So I'm part of him. So, yes, I can represent, and, yes, I can make God's heart happy. But there's a way to actually do it in a way that he approves. Because that's also quoted there in scripture. Come unto him in a way that he approved. Don't come to me dry. Don't come to me full of dope. Don't come to me looking crazy. Oh, Bishop Mims, I hear him. It's my father at the church. You wouldn't come in there. He didn't come in and see you again. You come in there and you don't represent God in the way that he approved, says the apostle. I tell you what, you wouldn't sit up in there. And you probably wouldn't be welcome back. No second chances on that. You don't disrespect God. Me, okay, I'm fleshy, but don't come up in here. I mean, he was something else. But, hey, I'm on a serious roll, whether my voice is husky or not. But we have Colonel Harrison. As you know, he's a minister, pastor, Second Union Baptist Church back east. Look it up if you're interested. He's been with us for 158 episodes. Oh, I didn't realize that. Hi, Colonel Harrison. How are you doing this morning?
Hi. Hi, Dr. Capitina, listening audience. Doing fine. Doing fine. Pray all is well with each and every one of you. Thank you for asking.
You are welcome. They better be, and I better be, because I know I want to make God's heart happy. But you know what? I keep tripping. You know, that was a saying in the 90s, I think. You know what? Stop tripping. Man, you just tripping. And I never knew what it meant. But it meant don't come up in my presence acting a fool. And we don't want to do God like that. Because scripture says that he was and is and still is known as a happy God. So I think like draw like. So in order to do God's bidding, in order to even stand and say, yeah, I love God. Oh, yeah, God, my God. Oh, you know what? That doesn't even sound like someone that is sane. But if we are not happy, if there's anything in our lives going on that is questionable, that is making us feel sad and feel bad, you can't go before him like that. You can even go before the ancient Israelite kings, and I'm going to say tripping. They'd have you killed on the spot and drug out. And their choice of killing was a beheading. So God is nothing less. If we're talking about worshiping him, serving him, treating our neighbors right because they're in the image of God. He said, I'm going to make them in our image. So, oh, my goodness, you got to be happy. You don't have to be happy for me, but you've got to be happy if you're holding God's utensils, Holy Scripture, you're talking about him, you're trying to represent. I wouldn't go to a door and try to help someone know more about God or learn about God, and my face is sad and hung down. I'm just tripping. Not. What do I have to say? And that's all he said. You got to do it. He said, go ye therefore. You got to do it. Now, when you do it, it's questionable. You can do it on a crutch, a cane, wheelchair. I've seen it all going up to these doors. Fearless. Well, if I die, Sister Cappuccino, it's okay because I'm dying under the banner of God, meaning that I'm out here doing something for God. So I'd rather do that than have my head shot off in my own home. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. But is there some ways and means that we need to put on the table so that God will know, oh, my God, she's struggling, she's trying, he's trying so hard to be happy. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Is there some ways? Well, you know what? There's really 10, and we had them here on this dashboard, but it disappeared. But you got me, and you have Colonel Harrison, and we in chopped liver. If we come to you, we know what we're talking about. And if we don't, we know who do. We'll call on King Jesus. But right now, how can I be happy? What is it I need to do? What can I do? Because I'm living for God. I'm breathing for God. You know, I may not look like it, but I'm trying to live for God. What is it? Hallelujah, praise God. What is it I need to do to be happy? Colonel Harrison, thank you again for being on the show. We're going to rely on you to help us out. Now, you guys get your pen and paper. You be sending me things. I'm like, oh, say it again. I didn't have my pen. Well, I'm telling you now before the man opens his mouth up, grab your pen and a piece of paper, because we're going to give you 10 ways, and we're going to bam, bam, bam. We're going to go through it because we have a set amount of time. Colonel Harrison, start us off with maybe 3 things that man can do to be happy. What does he have to do to be happy here on earth? Let's take 3 at a time.
Certainly. The first one, Dr. Cappuccino, is that mankind has to get to know who God is. Mankind has to get to know who God is. And we know God's name, according to the Psalm 83:18, that his name is Jehovah. So he has to get, number one, get to know who God is.
Okay.
Number two, prayer. And let's see, number two, get to know who God is. Number one is get to know who God is. Number two was once you get to know who God is, then you have to pray to God. That's number two, to find out, number three, what God will is for your life. So get to know who God is number one. Number two, pray unto God. And number three, when you pray unto God, he will reveal what his will is for your life.
Okay, that's 1, 2, 3. I know you guys heard that. Number one, get to know God. And so the way that I don't think anyone just wakes up and says, oh, I'm going to get to know God. I don't think that. I think that they're like Philip to the chariot in the scripture when he was telling him all about his relationship with his God. He says, well, how can I get to know him unless I be taught? So when you say get to know God, are you saying that one should seek to be taught about God? Is that the same thing? Is that what you're saying?
You can indicate a teacher or being taught as part of getting to know God. Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay, so if you get to know him, everybody don't know him. So that means that this getting to know him means that some teaching has got to be involved. Teaching. Anybody that's teaching about God. It's put in place, and not all, but most of them are put in place to teach whoever's interested about God. Some people will say, oh, I'm not interested. Thank you. Thank you for coming by. I'm not interested. But are you saying that rather than just wake up and sit up there and say that, Are you saying that there's people waiting to teach others about God? Should people be interested in learning about God through being taught about God? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there are people who are willing to teach others who God is. Yes, there is, Dr. Capitino.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
You know what? And I almost called you another name, so I got to watch my tongue. Oops, it's not going to slip out. Okay, number two, prayer to God. So prayer to God is supplicating to God, asking God for some kind of help or release. Prayer is a request to God to do something. That's the definition of prayer, a request to the God of the universe, and you've already mentioned him, Psalm 83:18. That is the God of the universe. So praying to the God of the universe, asking the God of the universe to what? Guide your life, lead good people into your life, lead teachers, lead them. God, please help me. I don't know. I don't know about Habakkuk. I've heard about Obadiah. I don't know about Jehoiakim. I heard about Jehu when he said, let her drop. I have heard of them names. So praying to God to know about God, is that what you're referring to when you say pray to God? Prayer is a conversation with God, a conversation with God. So are you saying that, number two, we should have a conversation with God?
Yes, that's correct, Dr. Capitino, yes.
Okay, and then you have number three, God's will. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is really incredible there. God's will. God has a will. God has something that he wants to share. That is God's will. So what is God's will for mankind right now on the face of this planet? He has a will. What is God's will?
God's will is twofold. Number one, that we love him and serve him. And then there's a third component to it. Love our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, love God. Once he reveals his will to us, love God, serve him by carrying out our will, and then loving one another the same as we love ourselves.
Wow, that sounds powerful. Because God's will, according to 1 and 2 John, and also the Gospel of John, is that all men might be saved. That's the principal will. If you go to China, Hong Kong, Russia, you go to Alaska, you go to the Hawaiian Islands, you go over to Iceland, you go to New Zealand, If you go anywhere, I don't care in what language, people will tell you that God's will, oh, he wants all might be saved. It used to be a church here in California with a big cross up there. God's will is for all men to be saved. And it was, you know, lit up. I don't even know if it's there anymore. But God's will is that all men may be saved. And he opened the door up. His only begotten, we'll talk about the begotten later. His only begotten son said, here I am, send me. He said, everything on earth is wicked from birth up. He said, Jesus, and it's a conversation, the scripture says, he says, send me, I will go down there. And of course, you know, most of you know the story, Mary kind of has some bib to expound on that, you know, future dates. But God's will, and Colonel mentioned that, that's his will, that all men may be saved. So if you're a man or a woman, you're alive to hear this, or you heard it, or you know about it. That's it. We can't put no other coat on God. Well, God said this, and I know God want me, and I know. You know what? You know nothing until you know that God's will is that all may be saved. So now we've covered these three. Let's take the next set of three, and we're going to start here and stop here and start over again on that all man may be saved. What does man do? Or what must he do to be saved? Because that is God's will.
So if I want to make God's heart happy, common sense would tell me, you know, I've got to get in where I fit in. I got to get into God's will so that all may be saved. What would I have to do, Colonel, to be saved? 1, 2, 3. Give us 3 ways, because I'm writing this down because this is very interesting. If that's God's will, you're not going to make God's heart happy if you don't get in his will and up under the voice of his will, up under the words of his will. So what must a human being do? Give us 3 points to, according to God's will, put themselves in line to be saved. What attitude must they have? What attitude, what character? Who might these people be?
Okay. The first thing is to repent. Repent means ask God. Repent means to feel sorry for the wrongdoing that one has done in life. Repent. The second is ask forgiveness. So repentance and forgiveness are sort of parallel meanings. So we have repentance, we have ask God for forgiveness, and 3 would be to humble oneself under God's almighty hand.
Wow. Oh, my God. I felt all these 3. Oh, my God. I felt them all. Wow. 1, 2, 3. And I feel better this morning. But now let me go back to 4. I see a few hands up here on this dashboard. Okay, you guys got to get it, okay? Repent. Okay, you guys heard what Colonel Harrison said. And he's certainly right, because while I'm on the dashboard, I'm Googling things and I'm getting some more insight. But now I know from another organization, when they and they teach this a new class, you know, when people want to study the Bible, you know, in their home, you guys know what I'm talking about. Their definition of repent means to turn around. Now, if a person turn around, they're not looking back at their old life. Thank you, Jehovah. They're not looking back at their old way of living. They have turned around. That means they're walking, hallelujah, in a new direction. You guys, did you hear that? Colonel Harrison started it off. He started off, but that we cannot add that. The Greek lexicon, turn around. That means you have said the old direction you was in, living in. Hey. Turn around. You've been living crazy. Turn around from that lifestyle. You've been talking crazy. Turn around from that lifestyle. And you already also know what else you've been doing. Turn around. You make up your mind. I'm turning my back on a way of living that has not served me. It ain't done anything. So I have turned around. I have put my back to that. And I'm moving forward in a new direction. Now, Colonel mentioned the first kind of point. I'm bringing that in. You're going to stop doing what you're doing that you know is not in God's will. You have turned your back to that, and you're moving forward. I don't want to see you looking back, trying to go back, because you have promised God, not us, not Colonel Harrison and not myself, turn around from your evil deeds. And usually if a person turns around from anything, there's a pretty good chance that he's not going back to that. Now, he might. Bible talks about backslidden people, the act of backsliding. But right now, here, turn around. You're going to repent. Colonel Harrison is definitely right on that. You're going to turn around from your wicked ways, and you're going to walk in a new direction. Now, if we kept you walking on Main Street and you should have had your back turned to it, you are not our friends. You know, Colonel Harrison and I, we're very friendly. You are not the friend, because you don't befriend God. You certainly, you cannot be our friend. So repent, turning around from whatever wicked ways that you've been walking in, and forgiveness. My God, Bible says forgive yourself first, okay? You're not going to forgive anybody else in the universe, dead or alive. First, forgive yourself. And you know, you forgive yourself, come, let's touch on it. Say, I'm sorry. Bishop used to say them is the most powerful words in the universe. Most, I'm glad I found them all right. Hallelujah. Praise your God. Powerful words in the universe. I'm sorry. He said you can get out of the penitentiary if you say you're sorry. Now, I never knew that, but, you know, penitentiary for the penitent, those that are sorry, those that are in need of forgiveness, those that have begged for forgiveness. Colonel Harrison said, number five, forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness. That is the way to show you're sorry. Tell yourself you're sorry and don't do those things anymore. But Bishop Mim said, I'm sorry, most powerful words in the universe. Colonel Harrison said, number six, humble thyself. You know what? I know someone made out of flesh and blood is spending billions to go up in outer space. You and I know that's insanity. I will say that. People call me all the time, oh, Doc, can I run something by you? You know what? Yes, you can. That is insanity. But we've got to humble ourselves under the mighty word of God. And I believe that's somewhere in Scripture. I'm not trying to Google it right now. But humble thyself. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, because we're not going any further. We don't turn around in these wicked ways. How are you going to make God's heart happy and you're still doing the same thing you was doing yesterday? You've got to be insane. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're going to put these four together. What are four ways that we can also be happy? Because I know if I practice forgiveness, you know I'm going to be happy. If I turn around from wicked ways. You know what? I could tell you a story of a woman that jumped out of a two-story building naked. God saved her. And when she looked up, there was a cab way down at the end of the alley with the door open. She ran naked and jumped in that car. When she woke up, she was at her home. Who didn't tell the cab driver anything? I know some of you got those kind of stories. You have to wake up and say, oh, my God, oh, you know what? I'm not going to do that no more. Send me somebody to help me. I want to get out of this. Send me someone. Didn't have a plate glass window, didn't have a scratch on her. I can tell you some stories. How you not going to want to talk about God and make us all happy? Oh, my goodness. We need four more ways. How can you be happy? Colonel Harrison, give us four ways that we also can practice to be happy first before we go before God. We got to do the cleaning up first before you walk in a church or wherever you're going. Just get up full of drugs and whiskey, and you're standing up in here. Need to be blown out the door. But, of course, we don't want to do that. Colonel Harrison, give us four more. 7, 8, 9, 10. What are four other ways that and means that we can practice to be happy before we go to God?
Well, once you've gone through the ones that we have mentioned, I have love God. It's impossible to make someone happy that we don't have an affection for. So we have to love God. And after loving God, we have to love each other or love one another.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible speaks of it as loving thy neighbor as we love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Mm-hmm. Then we also have to be reminded that we are our brother's keeper. We have to be concerned about the welfare of others. And I refer to it as being my brother or sister's keeper. And finally, after that, be given to charity, be given to help others. Be willing to help others.
Help others. Okay. Now, excuse me. You know, this voice is something else. When I get tired and sad, my voice sounds like this. But I want to say this. When you talk about loving God, how can a person love something or someone they don't know anything about.
We really want to set that. That was part of number one, get to know God. How is a person going to love God and he don't know nothing about him? I know I ain't going to love no man I don't know nothing about. I'm not going to love that dress if I don't know if it's French Parisian. I'm not going to love that if I don't know anything about the maker, where that fabric came from. You know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to love a man I don't know anything about. So if you're saying number seven is to be happy, we've got to love God. Are we back to number one? You first got to get to know that God to say you love that God? Is that about the same thing?
I think they're different, Doc. Getting to know God is getting to know God as God Jehovah and who he is, Psalm 83:18, as we mentioned earlier.
So
loving God,
once
we know who he is, then, and we are taught who he is, then we will come to love who he is. Even though he's an invisible spirit. We read fictional books. We watch fictional movies. We said, that's a good movie. That's a good book. God, we can't see him, his invisible spirit. But once you get to know who he is, he will commune and sup with us through what is called the spirit.
Okay. And so the next that I really want to stress on is this thing about loving one another. That also includes being, I guess, your brother's keeper. I believe
yes.
That means I believe in that is the give to others. You know, if you have a half a biscuit, someone else doesn't have one. You say, here is a biscuit, and I'm bringing the biscuit because Todd Stearns, everyone know he's this up-and-coming minister. He doesn't call himself a minister. He calls himself something else. But he has a podcast, and he talks about your daily biscuit. He doesn't say your daily bread, but he has a podcast that says your daily biscuit. And some people think a biscuit is better than bread, but, you know, we will touch on that. And he's somewhere near where Colonel Harrison is in the state. You've heard number 10 ways. You've heard, we got 90 seconds. You've heard 10 ways that you can make yourself happy, cause happiness to come into your life, and, of course, bring happiness to others. Because you're not going to, you can go to God and fool yourself if you want to. But if you're not under the sound of these 10 things, these 10 ways, these 10 means, you're fooling yourself. And God knows you. And that's probably why you're in the shape you're in. God bless you all. Thank you, Colonel Harrison, for tuning in. I love this topic. You know what? I don't know if we're going to run it again. But have a great weekend. This July 14th, Independence. Ask God for independence. Yeah, July 4th, 1776. Ask him for your independence this weekend. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.